Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, joined as always by my business partner and co-host, Al McDonald. Al, happy Podcast Friday to you.
Happy Podcast Friday indeed. Another exciting day talking to some great people. Our upcoming guest is no exception. Really looking forward to this conversation and really looking forward to another great year of podcasts.
Well, we always do something we internally call a chemistry call, just to make sure we can have a conversation with the people before we get to the recording of the podcast. And certainly our first conversation was so good. I'm really looking forward to this one. So joining us today is James Wu, the CEO of Innerspace. And we're thrilled to have you join us. James, thanks very much for doing this today.
Thank you both for having me, Robin, Al. It's nice to see you guys again. And Happy New Year. It's getting late in January for a Happy New Year, but
we can still get away with it for another week or so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, before we get started, we're going to send a big shout out to a former podcast guest and now good friend of ours, Karis Goodall from VetCert. As I said, James, at the top of before he hit record, we were actually chatting about you yesterday and she was saying great things, which I've come to learn that are true. So Karis, thank you for connecting us with James. Always a pleasure to speak with you. So now, James, I do have to point something out. So no pressure today. I know I told you you're batting cleanup, so you're the last episode today. But I also have to let you know, because you know Karis. Karis has won our coveted Editor's Delight Award for 2024. So the bar has been set pretty high. No pressure, but something to keep in mind as we chat along today.
That doesn't surprise me at all, for one. And two, I learned long ago not to even attempt to compare myself to Karis. So I'm good.
That's probably the right thing to do. All right, let's dive into it. As we were chatting since the first time, and I was subsequently thinking about that first conversation, and I think a lot of people's perception is, and I think you can say this about a normal business, because people have looked at our business and says, wow, you guys have this success and you did it so quickly. And I'm like, that's been 20 years, but particularly in the tech startup world, you know, it's portrayed as this fast paced overnight journey.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk about with your company, Innerspace, how does your story challenge that perception?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch TV or you hear about it on the news, or even just when you think about, when you look at your phone, you see the next biggest app and suddenly it's everywhere and they're talking about the overnight success. Those things have been years and years and years in the making, right? And I started Innerspace at this point over 10 years ago, and we grounded out for the longest time before finally finding the formula that started to see success when we started to get this thing off the ground, right? If people are hearing about us now, they're like, oh, where do these guys come from? Well, these guys have been around and grinding it out for years and years and years before you've ever even had a chance to hear about it.
It's so true. I did a post maybe 2 weeks ago, and I woke up one morning realizing I've been in the industry, in this industry, for 29 years. And Al, Joe, and I are celebrating our 20th year together. And it's funny where you wake up one day and you see success and you have this team. And you think, first of all, where did that time go? But at the same time, James, I don't know if you can relate, the vision that I had in the beginning, although it's evolved, I thought the path to success would be much quicker. And what I've learned over time, and this is from clients as well that I've dealt with, is success doesn't really have that timeline, but it is usually longer than you think. Has that been in your experience as well?
I think it's particularly if you don't allow your understanding your notion of what success looks like to evolve. right? Like you start a business and you probably think about it primarily from a financial perspective. This is going to be successful in paying my bills. It's going to be successful in maybe creating something that I can pass on to kids or retire early or whatever it is. But along the way, you start realizing like, oh, even simple things like this business is supporting 5 families, 10 families, 20 families, right? It's paying for mortgages. It's, you know, we've had the absolute privilege of helping a family immigrate to Canada and get them set up and, you know, sponsor their permanent residency. Like none of those things were on my mind when we started the company, but those are all huge elements of success that I now think of, I look back on as proudly as any of the financial things we've achieved.
I'm glad you really brought that up, talking about the success doesn't always conform to what we originally thought it might be. And there's lots of other good stories in there that we can be really proud of. Can you talk a little bit, James, about what Innerspace is and just give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what the company is all about? And then can you maybe add on and just talk about your approach over the years to sustainable growth? And to Robin's point earlier, maybe, you know, kind of resisting that pressure to conform to the typical tech startup mold.
Sure. What Innerspace is now is different than where it was, what I thought it was going to be. But what we are today is a sensor-free space utilization data platform. And we provide to large enterprise the ability to understand how their real estate's being used. Their real estate tends to be their second most expensive cost behind people, particularly in the context of today's world. They're trying to figure out, like, what is the combination of office space that we need in a world where people are working from home, you know, say half the time? And what are the resources that people need uniquely in the office? And what can they do comfortably at home? And how do we figure out what the new workplace looks like? And that's what we're helping them do. We didn't start out doing that. We started out by building devices and building sensors and thinking about things like, how are people going to find their way through a mall? How do shoppers optimize their trip to Home Depot or Walmart or what have you? And the technology we built along the way, and being close and talking with our customers and prospects at the time, kind of led us down this very, very winding path to end up in a place where those sensors are long gone. The customers we had at the beginning of our business are either long gone or now just sort of legacy customers that are still using a really old piece, you know, corner of the platform that we've built today. And yeah, that's what Innerspace is now.
Yeah. So the second part then was maybe, just talk a little bit about how, again, that typical startup, the typical tech startup is, again, kind of seen as fast-paced, but you kind of resisted that mold. So maybe just talk a little bit about that. And you already alluded a little bit to the journey, so maybe talk a little bit more about that too.
For sure. Typically, the tech startup is like, somebody's got a brilliant idea, and then you're hit the ground running, and it's a straight line towards success there. And obviously, the more curveballs and the more pivots you take and the more left and right turns, it's going to take longer and longer and longer. I think the other thing, and you know, I think the point you're alluding to about some of the more stereotypical pathways that we could have taken and we resisted were, you know, we are proudly Canadian, right? I mentioned how that sort of moment of pride and being able to help someone come here and become a new Canadian, or hopefully a new Canadian citizen at some point, but at least a permanent resident. We're proudly Canadian. And the idea early on when we went out to start looking for venture funding, and everyone's like, if you really want to be successful in tech, if you really want to be successful in raising venture funds, you've got to be in the Valley. You got to come to America, you got to uproot your family, and you got to build here. And I went down there and I looked around and I was like, this is not a place for me. This place is not going to be conducive to building the kind of company that I will be proud of, right? One where people are as important as the success, because they go hand in hand, right? I don't believe in a formula where you kind of consume your people in pursuit of success. As for a company that's 10 years old, we have employees who are still with us from day one, right? And that's super important to me. And it's super important that we remain a Canadian company and that success is done on Canadian terms. And that isn't to say, you know, a lot of people think about what does Canadian terms mean? It's a sort of a watered down apologetic version. It's not that at all. It is just Canadian values are different than American values. And success for me had to be in that context.
So where do you think some of those values came from?
Being Canadian. I mean, like I grew up here and, you know, I say sorry when I bump into people, but it's, you know, those are the humorous embodiments of being Canadian. But I don't think we are a growth at all expense kind of culture. I think we are a little bit more community oriented and we are a little bit more understanding of our neighbors. And I think that that culture embodies itself in our company.
So James, the 51st state, that's not for you. I'm taking that, right? I guess you're not on board for that one.
I'm not going to go on record talking about how aggravating that whole conversation gets me.
I think you brought up a really good point, though, and whether it's Canadian or not, I love that you had talked about, it's not just all about the bottom line. It's not just all about the balance sheet. It's about community. It's about your people. It's about building the company around that. I think that's just a great approach. And
I should add, if I may, I don't mean to dismiss or be derisive of and other approaches, right? They just weren't the approach for me.
Right.
I have all the respect in the world for people who want to go and do that stuff. But we talked about, what does success look like? That's not what success for me would have looked like. I was doing another interview, you know, it was a number of years ago now, right? When people are like, what's one business truism that you disagree with? And I said, one business, supposed business truism is like, well, business is business, right? And I'm like, I disagree. I think business is personal, right? Especially when you have a startup and you're at it 20, not literally 24 hours a day, but you never go home when you're running a startup, right? It's always something going, especially in the early days. The business you do is based on the trust that you as a person bring to the relationship. So business is personal. And so for success, it had to align with me as a person, as an individual. Other people are different and they can build their businesses successfully and respectfully and all those things the way they want to. But that's what it meant for me.
I like that. I don't talk about it very often, but that resonates with me, that business is personal. Over the years and growing up, I would see my dad do this and I thought, how is this even possible? Dad would go and do business with people. He's insurance, sort of new immigrant to Canada, came to the country with nothing and did okay throughout their life. But I would go on appointments with dad when I'm a kid and dad would, you know, do something with insurance with them. And then he'd get a hug for them. And then many years later, he was getting hugs because of, thank you for doing that 20 years ago, because now we're taken care of. And so I always saw it as a very personal business. And again, I don't advertise this a lot, but I become friends with a lot of my clients. And I've always felt I will work hard for a client, but when it's someone who's my friend, and maybe it shouldn't be this way, James, but I'll work even harder because I don't want to let that friend down.
Yep.
So business is very personal for me, because I remember when it was early on, we were quoting a case. It was a comedy of errors. Something went off the rails and I didn't get the business. And I phoned him up and I just said, I got to talk this out with you, because I feel like someone punched me in the gut. Like, it felt horrible to me to know I've let someone down. So I really appreciate that you shared that. I did want to dig into something you were talking about, pivoting, because we've always seen, you know, that's kind of the hallmark, right? Of a tech company. You got this idea, you pivot, you go elsewhere. So that happens all the time. And when we're talking about that, I'm thinking about the saying, well, there's never failure as long as they learn something. So from the time you started, and you talked about most of those sensors are gone now, and maybe you have a couple of legacy clients left, from all those learnings along the way with those pivots, what are some of those insights that you learned along the way that are helping you push you forward now?
I mean, you have to step even further back to this idea that a pivot is or is not a failure, right? The idea that you should be able to start at point zero and be able to perfectly predict the path to success is kind of, it's something that people want you to believe, or that TV might make you believe, but the reality is it isn't true. And if you accept that up front, then a pivot is not a failure. And a failure is not a failure per se, but it's like, it's a learning point and it's a moment for you to decide whether or not you have the energy to step back, rethink, and find a new way around, right? Like, the path forward is essentially like, it's wall after wall after wall after wall after wall. And each time you hit a wall, you have yet another choice. Is, do you jump over it? Do you smash through it? Do you go around it? Do you dig under it? Build a ladder, whatever it is. And it is very much like, it is sort of this, when you get to the next one, do you still have the energy? If you see each one of them as failure, you will not have the energy. If you see each one of them as, this is what I expected to find here, I got over the last wall and I expected to find another wall, and this is just what I'm supposed to do, then hopefully you'll have enough energy to get to the end.
It reminds me of a little encounter I had with Al, and I noticed something, and I finally asked him about it, because I'd come to Al. Everybody goes to Al, by the way. Al's our go-to for whatever reason. Everybody just goes to Al.
For whatever reason.
And I said, hey, I've got this problem. And this had happened a couple of times. I've got this problem. And Al started saying to me, he goes, oh, you mean you have an opportunity? And at first I thought, yeah, you got that out of some book.
Probably did.
But now it's kind of rubbed off, because I'm looking at things like, ooh, that's an opportunity, right? So I think having that perspective and not looking at, to your point, as failure, you kind of expected like, hey, I'm not going that linear line from A to Z without any challenges whatsoever. I kind of expected this. Or maybe if you didn't know exactly what you were going to expect, but you expected challenges along the way, then you have that opportunity. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Well, challenges should be energizing, right? And if you're the kind of person for whom challenges are not energizing, maybe entrepreneurship and business building, and that's not the kind of place you want to find yourself, because you will be drained very, very quickly, right? So challenges should be energizing. If you're the right kind of person, they are. But failure is never energizing. I don't know anybody gets energized by failure. So even just that shift in mindset, and it's no different from saying like, oh, you don't have a problem, you've got an opportunity. You don't have a failure, you have a challenge. It's the same thing, but it's the shift, like you're replacing one word for another, but there's a mindset shift that comes with it that changes you from feeling defeated, feeling drained, to feeling energized and feeling kind of pumped up.
James, if you were to look back on your career journey and you had the opportunity to talk to yourself, the 20-year younger self, what advice would you give yourself? What would you warn yourself about? What would you change?
It's funny. I was talking about this recently with my family, and I think we talked about this internally. We have this question of the week thing that we do every week with all the folks in the company just to help get to know each other better. And we talked about this recently. And I always think like my path here is sort of like one in a million. Right? If you go back and make too many changes, you risk not ending up back here again. Right? And that's not to say this is perfect, but it is to say, it is, would I put what I've got at risk to possibly end up somewhere else? You know, it's kind of like if you're sitting at 8 out of 10, you roll it, or let's say your dice, like you've got 10 showing on the die and you can take it again. You can roll again. Are you going to roll it and risk having something worse? I don't know if I would. So there are lots of things I wish I had done differently, but if I literally had the chance to go back and change things without any sort of confidence that I could get at least remotely back to where I am today, I think I would just let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. Hey, well, that tells me a lot, right? That tells me that you're very happy with where you are and how you got here.
Again, there are things I wish I had done differently, but would I go back and change them and risk not coming up with the same answer to them or the same response to the challenge the second time around that I did this time, which might lead me down a totally different path? Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin at this point.
Yeah.
James, I'm curious now, because you brought it up and hopefully you're willing to share. If not, we're going to be editing it out, but I think you might be willing to share it. You know, a clue of success. Tell us more about this question of the week. How does that work?
This was something that started when the company went remote, right? So in 2020, another proud moment, as odd as it sounds, is how the company and how we responded to the pandemic and the need to, one, have the business react and the impact that the pandemic had on our business. But it all started when we all went remote. We had to close the office. And now we're sitting kind of in the depths of, you know, the dark days of the pandemic, feeling really disconnected from each other and trying to figure out, like, how do you do? We used to be in the office every day. And we are a very flat kind of company, and we were a very social and open kind of company. And there were no offices. I just sat in a row of desks with everybody else. And now we're all at home and trying to figure out, how do we keep some element of culture alive in a company and don't let it all just kind of disappear? And so question of the week became, we started just by doing, hey guys, let's do these informal, like play a game together. We'll put an hour on the calendar each week and we'll play games. We kind of kept coming back to this one style of game where somebody would just have a thought-provoking question and everybody would go around and answer it. And it evolved into something we just call question of the week. And I've got a whole spreadsheet of like the question that's have been asked every week by somebody. And the idea is, it's just somebody brings a thought-provoking question and everybody has their 2 minutes to answer it. And you get to know that person a little bit better. And whether it's before Christmas, it's like, what are some of your favorite Christmas memories? Or we talked about, if you could go back in time, or if you could choose to go back in time or forward in time, which would you do and why? Like those kind of things. And you just get to kind of get to know someone a little bit better.
That's a really cool idea. Al, what was the, somebody pointed us to, and it was a list of questions.
Yeah.
You could choose from kind of a level of
A, B, and C. Yeah.
A, B, and C.
I believe it was our friend Josh Siegel, I believe.
Was Joshua Siegel. Shout out Joshua Siegel, amazing human being.
And he had a question deck. I probably still have it. I could probably forward it to you. It was great, like you say, kind of some, you know, some surface questions a little bit deeper. And then if you really wanted to drill in and get to know people really well, you could really go deep. And we've played with that a little bit. It's a lot of fun.
We sat together, and me, Al, and Joe have been in business for 20 years. We've known each other for longer than that. And I remember coming out of that room and thinking, oh my God, like there were things that we shared that we never knew about each other. I saw emotion that I've never seen before. And we haven't really done much with it. But now that you're talking about this question of the week, I thought, we're in 3 days week.
Maybe time to dust it off again, right?
This would be something fantastic. And again, let someone come up with the question. Maybe Al 1 week, maybe it's Hayden another week, Stephanie. I think that's a great idea, because when do you sit there these days, especially if you're remote, and have a discussion and then get to know that person on a deeper level that you might not ever know unless you have something in place like this, the question of the week. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And look, we've been remote ever since, right? We're getting back to the point where we're doing in-person meetings and having quarterly so-and-sos, but we have employees who join and we'll never meet them in person until the next on-site gathering, right? So this is a great way for them to start building that social connection with people who it could be 6 months before they actually get to meet somebody in person at the company. But by the time they do, like, they've had whatever, 24 questions asked and 24 questions answered, and they feel like they know somebody just that much better.
See, this is why people listen to the show. You know, I called it Success Leaves Clues. That's my goal for every time we have a little chat, something to come out. To me, I just got one. That's a great idea. And I think we'll start doing that as well.
It's funny. So recently it's been, things are pretty busy, and we typically, so we have a weekly town hall, and the town hall is either a product demo or it's a departmental update. And then the last half of it is question of the week. That's just every week, but things have been busy. And so sometimes we're getting down like, guys, I don't think we have time for question of the week. And you roll it forward to the next week. And recently we were just like, I think we haven't done it in like 3 or 4 weeks now, and everyone's feeling it. So we're not going to do an update. We're not going to do a demo whole hour. We're just going to do question of the week. It is a good thing.
There you go. Love it.
Isn't it funny when things work so well that you kind of stop doing them?
Or you miss it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Al, I think it's time for your signature question. And I'm really looking forward to see what James has to say about this.
Wonderful. Okay. So I hope that you've been forewarned about the question. So here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So maybe you can talk about how through inner space, you're transforming how physical spaces are understood and utilized. But what proverbial trees are you planting today to leaving a lasting impact on workplaces, communities, or the future of technology? Or maybe even this is something you want to talk about from a personal point of view as well.
I would like to think, I mean, look, I don't have the other people get to decide whether or not I leave a lasting impression on tech or on workplaces. That's not up to me to decide, right? If there was one area where I really do hope that I can leave an impression, it's on maybe how can the people who are currently in my company and who are currently sort of looking upwards through the corporate structure to decide how will they be when they are either a manager or a departmental leader or hopefully starting their own business, how will they try to do it? Right. And I am hopeful that I can help people see that there's more than just the Hollywood and the, you know, the preconceived notion of what it takes and what does it take to be a successful leader? And what does it take to be a successful manager? And I think, Robin, you were talking about how the personal relationship you have with customers makes you want to work that much harder for them. Right. And the personal relationship you build with your team and your employees and your colleagues makes everybody want to work that much harder for each other. Right. I recognized it long ago with the first boss that I had, that because he was good to me, he was a good human being to me and not just a manager and a boss and told me what to do. I wanted to work harder for him, and he got the best out of me, if for no other reason, I did not want to let him down. And I think we need more of that recognition in terms of how do you lead people by example and how do you lead people in a genuine and human way versus a authoritarian, right? So if I am able to leave clues, if I'm able to leave a breadcrumb that people will follow, I hope that it's that. Because whether or not I am the right kind of leadership that companies need, I don't know. But if people choose my style more than others, I would be happy to look back or, you know, down from wherever I end up being and see that. That would please me.
Well, that's a great way to wrap up. And I'm glad you shared that with us. And I think that is a meaningful answer. And I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally agree, Al. I think we'll get a lot of feedback on this one. James, what's the best way for people to reach out if they want to find out more about you or Innerspace or what you're doing?
Yeah, well, obviously Innerspace can be found online, innerspace.io. But if you want to send me a note, I'm james@innerspace.io, and I'd be happy to have a chat.
Okay, that's great. That does it for today's episode. If you do want to have further conversations with James about the outgoing governor of Canada, feel free to reach out to him. I'm joking. Please don't flood his inbox. We really enjoyed this conversation with you, James. I hope everyone else enjoys this one when they hear it. If you have questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. Once again, we see it here. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.